Hare Krishna. So after listening to the wonderful discourse of Govind Prabhu, I don't know what can I say after he has spoken. It's not easy to speak after the devotees with great scholarship and realization have spoken. But whatever little I can offer, I can try to offer what I've heard from Govind Prabhu and other devotees only, senior Vaishnavas. So he very beautifully elaborated, or rather gave a summary, an overview of the first three chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And one of the most beautiful points that I personally felt very much inspired by, which he always speaks, is how the Gita is not simply offering solutions to the problems around us. The world is always looking for solutions, stopgap measures, quick fix solutions, you know. But the Gita is not speaking about that. I mean, I always remember going in a local train and watching that, you know, advert there. Prem Pakran, Jadu Tona, Santan Utpatti, Kanun Kaida, Property Issue, In Sab Ke Liye Mili. But it's kind of hilarious. It's hilarious that someone promises that you tie a taviz or you put some ash or give me some cash and, you know, and I'll offer you solutions to all of your problems. It's hilarious, you know. As if people have acquired solutions. There have been N people who tried and no one's got a solution. And yet we are so hopeful that in the world, solutions will come and this world will be a better place to live in. Govind Prabhu very beautifully pointed out, this world can never be a good place to live in. Krishna explains that you cannot really have a solution to these problems. You try to tolerate them. I mean, we always have to try and resolve as much as we can, but beyond a certain limit, we just can't. And all of us have got first-hand practical experience of this, that we just can't, beyond a certain point, solve our problems. At such a stage, then only one thing comes to our rescue, and that is tolerance. Tam stitikshasva bharata. Tolerate, Krishna. This is a beautiful point and beautifully brought out by him. It's really very, very inspiring. Personally, for my own personal practice, it's not easy to do it. But very, very inspiring. We can't stop the massive rains, you know. In Mumbai, the kind of monsoons we have sometimes is just unbelievable. Flooding practically. And it's really hard to stop those rains. But it's not hard to take an umbrella. It's not hard to put a raincoat on. Well, yeah, it's hard to stop the rainfall of miseries, the rainfall of difficulties, the rainfall of situations which are beyond our control. Most often, if not always. And then, if we can't stop it, what we could do is try and take the umbrella. The Bhagavad Gita is like an umbrella. The Bhagavad Gita is like the raincoat. We can't stop the troubles, but we can stop the troubles affecting us. We can't stop the rains, but we can stop the rains wetting us. And therefore, this book, the Bhagavad Gita, is one of the greatest hopes of mankind. It is the call of compassion, of the compassionate heart of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And this song of compassion is the greatest hope for mankind to deal with a world, a dog-eat-dog-live world, a mad, crazy, rat-race world. Things don't go our way. And therefore, here is a ray of hope. Here is some light in the middle of all darkness, where when we apply it, we shall see immediate result. We shall see immediate solace. We shall see immediate peace. Not by solving all the situations, but by being able to deal with them. It is explained that the Bhagavad Gita is like a sun. The sun is very powerful. Its light is very powerful. A lot of flowers, they bloom, they blossom, they thrive on the light of the sun. Some lotuses, they bloom when the sun rises. And they, you know, wither away when the sun sets or close when the sun sets. The hearts of every living being in this world is like a withered away lotus. Only when the sun's rays touch this withered closed lotus, does the lotus once again open. Similarly, the heart of every living being has become closed due to the age of Kali and the influence of Kali. But the Bhagavad Gita, which is like the sun, As soon as the sun comes in contact, or the rays of the sun come in contact with this lotus, it opens. Similarly, as soon as our hearts come in contact with the words of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, which are compared to the rays of the sun, our hearts open. There is light, there is hope, there is joy, there is peace, you know, in the middle of all the mayhem and chaos. The problem, however, is when the sun is covered by the cloud, then the rays of the sun are not allowed to touch the lotus because of the cloud. Similarly, all the unscrupulous, messed up commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita are the clouds. These commentaries are obscuring the light of the sun to reach our hearts. And therefore, in spite of trying to read the Gita, the hearts don't open up because these cloud-like commentaries are obscuring it. Funny commentaries. You know, Srila Prabhupada said, someone wrote in his Gita, there's a commentary on the Gita with no Krishna in it. Can you imagine? That's ridiculous. Commentary on the Gita with no Krishna in it. One commentary says, Krishna is black and black is unknown, therefore Krishna is unknown, so why are you reading Gita to know Krishna? Imagine. Another commentary goes to another height. This is the hilarious part of it, but true. One commentator is talking about, you know, the Gita advocates drinking tea which is made on a stove. Gita? Tea was introduced by Britishers, not by Krishna. You know? But he's saying, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Sanni Vishto. You know? Sarvasya Chaham. Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Sanni Vishto. So you should drink tea which is made on a stove? One commentary, I am not joking. These are things written in books. You know, one commentary talks about Gita recommending eating ice cream. Hilarious. How do you have ice cream in the Vedic culture? Of course, they have a word in Sanskrit for ice cream. It's called Dukdha Sharkara Yukta Hima Ghanagola Gattu. That's ice cream. How do you have ice cream? But there was nothing like an ice cream then. But this commentary says you should eat ice cream. And what is the shloka? Yum yum vapi smaran bhavam. There used to be a famous brand of ice cream in the West called Yum Yum. Now, these are the commentaries which are like clouds, not allowing the words of Krishna, the rays of the sun, to touch the hearts of people directly. You see? And therefore, the acharyas like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and many other commentators on the Gita, like Srila Ramanujacharya, Sripad Madhvacharya, Srila Sridhar Swami, Sri Keshav Kashmiri, Sripad Vallabhacharya, and then in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and then of course Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada. They are like a powerful wind. When the cloud covers the sun, then a massive wind comes and sweeps off the cloud so that let the sun shine on the lotus and let the lotus bloom. Similarly, all of these acharyas, they come and it's a massive cyclonic wind through their commentaries to drive away these bewildering, illusioned commentaries given by the illusioned people of this world so that the actual words of Krishna, the rays of light of the sun can touch our hearts, the lotus, the withered away, closed, unfortunate lotuses, and then the lotus shall bloom. In the second chapter, the first verse is, Tam tatha kripaya vishtam ashru purna akulekshanam. Ashru purna. This world is all about ashru purna. Like Govind Prabhu so beautifully brought out, lamentation, lamentation, lamentation. I got it, I still lament because I lost it. And I didn't get it, I still lament because I didn't get it. I got it and I didn't lose it, I still lament because I'm not getting the most out of it. This world is only about crying tears. Ashru purna. And when one's eyes are flooded fully with tears, one cannot see things for what they are. As soon as the eyes are full of tears, you can probably vouch for this from your practical experience, that one cannot see things for what they are. And therefore, ಅಶ್ರುಪೂರ್ಣ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟೇಷನ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ಲಾರಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ವಿಷನ್. ಅರ್ಜುನ, ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೀತಾ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾರಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್. ಫಿಸಿಕಲಿ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಇಂಟರ್ನಲಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟಬಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಒನ್ ಕೆನ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್. ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಶ್ರುಪೂರ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫಾರ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಸಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್. ಇನ್ ಸಚ್ ಅ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ವೈಪ್ ದ ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಐಸ್, ವೈಪ್ ದ ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್ ವಿದಿನ್. And when the tears are gone, the flooded tears within our consciousness are gone because of lamentation, then there is clarity of thinking. Then there is clarity of seeing things for what they are. And therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is to wipe the internal tears caused because of lamentation. And when those tears go away, then we shall see things clearly. With eyes flooded with tears, we will never be able to see things clearly. Krishna's words are offering us a chance. Krishna's words are offering us an opportunity to wipe off the tears internally, the tears of lamentation, and therefore gain the clarity of vision of how to live our lives and how to go on with our lives. Chapter 4, like Govind Puru said, chapter 3 concludes with knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Chapter 4 begins with Jnana Yoga. It's called Jnana Yoga, transcendental knowledge. People have knowledge of rental knowledge, mental knowledge, dental knowledge, but this is transcendental knowledge. You know, you see, Jnana Yoga. It's funny how people have, knowledge is meant to solve problems. You know, people go and study law. Why? Because it's going to help people to solve law issues. People go and study dentistry. Why? Because that helps people to solve the problems of their toothaches or a root canal or a tooth replacement or these days cosmetic dentistry. You know, you can design your smile by going to a cosmetic dentist. You see? So much so that down in Kerala, there is a college that teaches you how to pluck coconuts. Because that's a problem. There's so many coconuts and people don't know how to pluck it. There is an educational institute, a college, which teaches people how to climb coconut trees and pluck coconuts. Isn't it? I mean, the problem, so there's a solution. And the college where I go to discuss Bhagavad Gita with the students, one student was doing his PhD, guess in what? He was doing his PhD in trying to increase the longevity of a soap bubble. A PhD in how to increase the longevity of the soap bubble, because when you bathe and the soap bubble trickles off here, it goes off here. But if it continues to go, the tickly sensation that brings you, you know, till below, oh, how wonderful it would be if the soap bubble just comes down. Can you imagine doing a PhD in increasing the longevity of a soap bubble? Another student in the same college was doing PhD in trying to increase the elasticity of chewing gum. I mean, after a while, it loses its elasticity. A PhD in how to increase the elasticity of chewing gum. Well, the world is full of faculties of knowledge and institutes and educational bodies dedicated to serve that purpose. However, this is called aparavidya, material knowledge. And material knowledge simply helps us make a living. But paravidya, spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge may not always help us make a living. Nowadays people make a living out of it. But it helps people make a life. And what's more important than making a living is making a life. Because even the panwala down the corner makes a living but doesn't make his life. And if we, with all our educational degrees and with all the knowledge at our beck and call, if we are not going to help ourselves deal with life and make our lives, then what good is a panwala and a PhD? And therefore, there is a difference between making a life and making a living. Whereas aparavidya teaches us how to make a living, our PhDs, our MSCs, our MSs, our MDs. Then here is spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, divya gyan, paravidya, which helps us how to make a life. Here is knowledge about, like Govind Puru rightly mentioned, the three sides of the triangle beautifully explained, you know. Here is knowledge of the soul, Atmagyan. Here is knowledge about detachment, Anasakti. Here is knowledge about devotion, Bhakti. You know, the Bhagavad Gita. This is Jnana Yoga. This is spiritual knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, he went to MIT. And when he went to MIT, the professors were showing all different departments. Prabhupada said, this is MIT, where is the knowledge of Almighty? You know? All the different departments of knowledge are giving aparavidya, but where is paravidya? Where is knowledge of God? Where is knowledge of soul? Where is the knowledge of how to connect to God? There is practically no knowledge that is offered. At MIT, Srila Prabhupada told the professors, where is a department that can show us what is the difference between a dead body and a living body? Do you have that science? Unfortunately, most people in the world who have academic knowledge don't have this paravidya. They only keep hovering around aparavidya, material knowledge, keep on making a living and keep on feeling gratification that yes, I am a scholar. You know, but here Krishna is offering us a chance to become a scholar of the highest order, and not just a scholar by knowing it, but by applying that knowledge, change our heart with the sweet love that He fills our heart with, bhakti. That is the purpose of all knowledge. So this chapter, Jnana Yoga, we'll cover this chapter in 7 points. I have no clue how I'm going to go through. I have to leave just in a couple of, you know, about an hour or so to go to Delhi. But I'll go through as fast, as slow as is possible. But my whole intention is at least to do justice to one chapter and understand that thoroughly. And then the next two, 5 and 6, I'll kind of give a brief synopsis. Let's see how the time goes, you know. But let's at least go through chapter 4, a little more in elaboration than chapter 5 and 6. So, the first point that is mentioned in chapter 4, because it deals with knowledge, is what is the origin or the history of this knowledge. Everything we are talking of, we need to know the origin, we need to know the history. You know, this particular field of knowledge came into existence, who made it? Theory of relativity came. Who made it? Einstein? Sorry, no, Kakud Muni. They stole it and they wrote Einstein's theory of relativity. Of course, he didn't. He was a student of Gita. Guttenborough, who invented the printing press, pushed Einstein's name there. You know, Pythagoras' theorem? Sorry, it was not Pythagoras' theorem. It is from the Shulba Sutra. The Shulba Sutra, you know. And Voltaire, a French philosopher, writes in his observation in his journal in the early 1800s. Voltaire is writing, and what is he saying? He's saying that Pythagoras went to the banks of the river Ganga to study the theorem, to study geometry. It's not in the Gita, it's not written in the Bhagavad, it's not written in the Vedas. It's written in the observation of a French man who came to India in the early 1800s, that Pythagoras came to the banks of the river Ganga to learn geometry. And where did he learn the theorem from? A square plus B square is equal to C square. He learnt it from the Shulba Sutras, sitting on the banks of the river Ganga. And Guttenborough put it in his books. He didn't. He had printing press. So he printed it all, saying it is Pythagoras' theorem. You see? So yes, we are very much interested in trying to know who is the origin of this knowledge. So we are saying Einstein is it? No, it's Kakud Muni. We are saying it's Pythagoras. No, it's Shulba Sutra. But this is all aparavidya, material knowledge. And what about spiritual knowledge, the Gita? Where did it begin from? Who gave it? What is the history of this knowledge? So, in the Gita, Lord Krishna himself explains the history of the Gita in the first verse of chapter 4. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha manurikshvakave abravit. My dear Arjun, this is not a new invented science. Yoga proktaha puratana. Have you heard that puratan word? पुरातन मंदिर में बड़ा प्राचीन पुरातन मंदिर जो हजारों साल से बना हुआ था पुरातन योगः प्रोक्तः पुरातन. दिस साइंस इज वेरी ओल्ड वेरी एंशियंट अर्जुन. इट्स नॉट दैट आई एम स्पीकिंग टू यू फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम. दिस साइंस आई हैव ऑलरेडी स्पोकन टू सर्टेन पर्सनैलिटीज बिफोर. श्रील प्रभुपाद ऑलवेज देयर फॉर एम्फसाइज दैट द गीता इज नॉट समथिंग इन्वेंटेड. It's an ancient science. And Prabhupada took a lot of pain and labors to establish this. In his purports, especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, Srila Prabhupada, you know, gives a lot of details of places Like if it's Srinath Ji's temple in Udaipur, close to Udaipur, he'll say from in the government gadget it's written that if you take a train from Mumbai Central to Udaipur, this is how much it costs, and then you get down and a bus takes you there, and then you'll find a door like this. Prasadam is all made in ghee, and you pay this much money, and this is how it is. And hundreds of details. One person asked Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples, Swamiji, why are you putting so much effort, you know, in giving all these details, so much labor? Srila Prabhupada said, so that they understand that it is an ancient, authentic science. It's not something cooked up. Kurukshetra is not just some body, you know, this body is Kurukshetra and the five senses are the five Pandavas and all the opposing forces outside are the Kauravas and inside you, the Atma are Krishna. Guide yourself. You are your own guide. Tu sahe tuja jivanata shilpakar. You know? You see? No. This is not how it works. You see? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada took all the pain to show it is a Puratana science. It is not something ordinary coming up now, some speculated stuff. It is an ancient Puratana science. And then Krishna is saying, this science, this old science, whom did I speak to first? Imam Vivasvate. I spoke this to the sun god. Surya Dev. Sun is a planet, a post. Chief minister is a post occupied by a person called? No, Maharashtra chief minister. I'm not asking sub minister son. Chief minister is a post occupied by Ashok Chavan. Surya Dev is a post occupied by Vivaswan, the sun god. I spoke this science first to the sun god Vivaswan. And Vivaswan spoke it to his son, Manu. And Srila Prabhupada said, from Manu comes Manushya. He is the father of all mankind. Manu, say Manushya. From Manu comes the English word man. Manu, man. From the word mata comes mother. From the word bhrata comes brother. You see? From the word dwar comes door. Sanskrit is the mother of all languages. And we can see how beautifully each of these words are used. You see? Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave. It was given to Manu. And then Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. And in this way, not only the text came, but a line of teachers who taught the text also came. If you don't have a line of teachers to teach the text that Krishna is giving, then each of these words can be misinterpreted like hell. Even in colloquial languages, you know, vernacular languages, misinterpretations take place. Like if you say, Anil Sharma gaya, what do you understand out of it? Anil Sharma gaya. Or Anil Sharma gaya. Imagine how you can misinterpret these words. You see? In Marathi there is a statement called, you know, some of you who know Marathi might probably appreciate what I'm saying. At the ST stands in Maharashtra, they're funny, you know. There the people have national graffiti. For those of you who do not know graffiti, for those of you who have not been to the Western world, graffiti is, you know, paintings on the wall, kind of funny things, paintings all over the walls they have. So in India, there's natural graffiti, you know, they just spit. And there's all freestyle art, graffiti, all over. You see? But in Maharashtra, ST stands there, right? You know, yethe thunku nahi. Yethe thunku nahi means do not spit here. Instead, when they join one word, they say yethe thunkun ye. Which means you spit there and you come back. You know? During the British regime, there was an order that was sent through telegraph to one of the British officers saying, hang him, not let him go. In the telegraph, there was a change of a punctuation mark. Instead of hang him, exclamation, not let him go, the exclamation went one word ahead. Hang him, not, exclamation, let him go. And that criminal was let free. You know? And therefore, misinterpretation can take its hold in the world, even in ordinary languages. What to speak of a complex language like Sanskrit, in which one word has multiple meanings. And then there is full scope to, you know, interpret it the way, whatever you like. You should drink tea on a stove, or you should eat yum yum ice cream and any damn thing under the sun. You see? And thus, along with the text, what is needed is a chain of teachers who will explain the text thoroughly and properly. Our Damodar Prabhu Brahmachari here in our temple is my cooking guru. You know, he gives me such, Radhavalla Prabhu also. They give me such amazing cooking lessons that I, who was a duffer in cooking, they even try to teach me how to cook. You know, and many times when they just hand over the recipes to me, I'm pretty excited to see how I could do about it, but they have not found time to tell me how to do it. And when I just take the recipe and try to go through it, it seems so simple, you know, so easy. So simple it looks. But when you actually start doing it, you can be bewildered, you know. Suddenly some foam starts coming, you don't know what to do. It's not written in the recipe. The foam will start coming up like this, this is what you should do. Therefore, we need a teacher, a line of teachers who have learnt in that chain to tell us how to deal with that recipe. And both of them, such excellent teachers, they will tell at every step what happens. And therefore, you don't get bewildered when you cook. You know, you pick up Tarla Dalal's, you know, recipe book, or that Ruchira, Maharashtra, there's this famous Ruchira, or Kurma's cooking book, or Yamuna Mataji's cooking book, and you pick it up and you start cooking, bewildering sometimes. We have a teacher who has preserved this knowledge properly. It's amazing how it works. And therefore, simply the text that Krishna gives is not important, but the line of teachers through which this comes down. This is called a parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. I am giving this knowledge in parampara, beginning from Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave it to Manu. Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. In this way, this knowledge comes down. Srila Prabhupada one time, you know, he said something that bewildered his devotees. Srila Prabhupada said, you know what? Fish fried in mustard oil is very tasty. And he said, prostitutes from Paris are very beautiful. So all the disciples were bewildered. How did Prabhupada come to know? You know, they were very bewildered. And Srila Prabhupada paused for a while and said, so we have heard from the authorities. And therefore, one may not have tasted fish and fried in mustard oil, and one may not have gone to Paris to do the unmentionable things that people do. But when one has heard from authorities, one accepts that knowledge and says, yes, fish fried in mustard oil is very tasty, and prostitutes from Paris are very beautiful. You know? Keshav Kashmiri, when he came to talk to Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, who was a great scholar, he was a great scholar in Vyakaran. Keshav Kashmiri was a great scholar in poetry. And therefore, Keshav Kashmiri, Nimai said, you compose poetry on the river Ganga. And like the river Ganga, he composed 100 verses on Ganga within less than a few seconds. Amazing. It was like Jhanjavata. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explained Jhanjavata, free-flowing poetry on the river Ganga. You know? And then Lord Chaitanya, Nimai, he said, there are the following faults in your poetry and the following good qualities. Faults? I am a Pandit whom no one has defeated. You think there are faults in my poetry? And by the way, I recited poetry like raging wind, like the flowing Ganga. How did you even catch hold of this? He said, by the mercy of the goddess Saraswati, you can recite, and by the same mercy of the same goddess, I can remember. I am Shrutidhar. You know? So I have remembered what you said. And then, he said, but you are an ordinary teacher of Vyakaran. What do you know? Alankars about poetry. And Nimai Pandit, he said, I may be an ordinary teacher of grammar, but I have heard from teachers of poetry that these are the alankars, although I have not studied them. And Keshav Kashmiri had to hear because he was quoting authority. You know, when Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, Indra and all the devatas realized, Hiranyakashipu's son, he'll also become a demon, we should kill him. So they came to kill him. And Narad Muni came and told Indra, my dear Indra, don't kill this child. Don't abort the child. Because this child will be a great devotee in the future. And Indra put his faith in Narad Muni's words and didn't kill the child. He didn't have a sonograph to see what the child is. And even if he had a sonograph, you can't see by a sonograph, a bachcha devotee banega ki nahi banega. You know, Narad Muni told that his child Prahlad is going to be a devotee. You see? And then Indra just accepted. Prabhupada writes in that purport, this is called parampara. Things that you don't have access to should be accepted based on the authority of people who have knowledge, wisdom, realization, integrity and character. You see? And therefore, parampara means, I don't have access to see what's beyond this world. I don't have access to see what the spiritual world is. I have no access to see what God is. But here is Krishna telling Vivaswan, Manu, and the line is coming down. I must accept the authority of the parampara. And then Krishna says, Sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. Kale na mahata, kal ke shakti se, kal ke prabhav se, by the power of time, everything gets destroyed. Beauty gets destroyed. The body gets destroyed. A teacher came to a classroom and wrote on the blackboard, I am beautiful. What tense it is? The student said, past tense, madam. You see? Everything is destroyed by the power of time. Our beauty is destroyed. Our bodies are destroyed. Religion is destroyed. Knowledge is destroyed. This knowledge that I gave to the sun god, then to Manu, then to Ikshvaku, coming in this parampara, kale na mahata, by the power of time, my dear Arjuna, dharmo nashtaha. Parantapa. O Parantapa, by the power of time, this knowledge was destroyed. Once again, I wish to start this chain. The unbroken chain was broken. I wish to restart this chain and I wish to make you, O Arjun, the person to begin this chain a second time. So the Gita was spoken to Arjun a second time. And Prabhupada says, in his purport, that the Gita was minimum 120 million years old according to this calculation here. A minimum. If you are interested in how that calculation came, meet me when I come back from Delhi. I can tell you because it's just beyond the scope of our time to tell you how that figure came. But there is a calculation to how that figure came. You see? In any case, this dharma was destroyed. I am now going to make you, Arjun, the recipient of the same knowledge again. Why? Why Arjun? Why not Duryodhan? Why not our famous Uncle Shakuni? You know? Why not anyone else? Why should Arjun be the chosen one, the blessed one, to be the recipient of the Gita for a second time? Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hetad uttamam. Because you are my devotee, bhakta, and because you are my friend, Sakha, therefore Rahasyam, this confidential knowledge, I shall explain to you, O Arjuna. And therefore, Gita is not an academic exercise. Gita is something that has to be learnt by the practice of bhakti. Arjun was given the Gita because bhakto sime, because he was a devotee. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he hammered this point again and again and again that Gita is not some academic gymnastics. There are many, many scholars who are trying to screw out some stupid meanings out of these verses of the Gita and they don't practice bhakti yoga even for a moment in their lives. Such commentaries have no value because the confidentiality of the Gita is revealed only to a person who practices bhakti yoga. And therefore someone who really wants to decipher the meaning of what Krishna is speaking in these 700, in fact 594 verses to be precise, out of the 700, 594 are spoken by Krishna. 594 verses spoken by Krishna, if one wants to decipher what the meaning is, he has to practice the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakto sime sakha cheti. Some Indian man came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I know the 700 verses of the Gita by heart, back top to bottom, bottom to top. Prabhupada said, you can know 700 verses by heart and you can recite them. Can you live them for 7 minutes? You can say it for all the 700 verses, but can you live it for 7 minutes? Oh, this man was shocked. Srila Prabhupada was in Jaipur with his disciples, Kausalya Mataji and Gurudaspur and all of them, and they had a massive pandal program, and Kausalya Mataji, Srila Prabhupada told her to come on stage and recite the Ishopanishad verses. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is an American girl, about 17 years old, and she can recite all the verses of the Ishopanishad. Can you? And all the Indians were like dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. And this young American girl, she comes and sits on stage. And out of all the verses of Ishopanishad, she only knew 6. So she was scared to death. Prabhupada said, I'm going to recite. And what if she has me continue? So she started reciting with great fear. And as it came to the 6th verse, Prabhupada said, all right, Kausalya, sufficient. Now go back, sit down. You know, amazing, isn't it? And then an Indian gentleman came. And this gentleman came and told Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, your Western disciples, their pronunciation of Sanskrit is horrible. Srila Prabhupada said, their pronunciation is horrible, but their renunciation is very good. You know, they are giving up all the bad habits and they are trying to live a based life based on the teachings of the Gita. Many people can talk about the Gita, how many can live? You know, there are a lot of Indian people, nothing, no offense against Indian, I am an Indian myself. Right? You talk about the Gita and everyone is going to say, humko malum hai ji Gita. Kya Gita? Gita ka sandesh kya? Kisi ka bura mat karna. Tum kya laaye the, jo tum leke jaoge? Where in the Gita is it written? You please show me. You know. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's no one verse in the Gita that says things like this. And there's a whole philosophy that's made out of it. You know? And they'll say, humko Gita malum hai, but they don't live by half a word of the Gita. And here were Srila Prabhupada's fledgling, young, 17, 18, 19 year old, teenage American disciples. Who didn't have an idea of how to tie a dhoti or how to wear a sari or how to put a tilak or how to use a washroom. They have no idea. Srila Prabhupada had to train them in everything and they lived a life based on the teachings of the Gita. Not to say that others don't, not to say that Indians don't. There are many wonderful Indians who do. But just to refute what this Indian person told Srila Prabhupada in Jaipur. You see? And therefore, a lifestyle is Gita. Gita is not knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is a lifestyle. A lifestyle which is guided by the process of Bhakti Yoga. By the process of devotional service to Krishna. And when one lives a lifestyle based on Bhakti Yoga, then every verse, the mysteries will be unveiled. Otherwise, every verse will remain a mystery. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a honeybee trying to lick the honey from outside the bottle. Bottle ka dhakkan band hai, aur honeybee chakh raha hai. Kyun meetha nahi lag raha hai? All the shlokas of the Gita are available, but there is a password. It's password protected. Gita is password protected. Sab shlok khula hai. Rahasya kya hai isme? All the verses are given. It's password protected. And the password is given freely also. Bhakti Yoga. You know, you don't have to crack the password. You don't have to hack the password. Straight away given. Bhakti Yoga, you practice all the mysteries when we unveiled. One guy, you know, he came to a club and the entry into that club was based on trying to, you know, the watchman would give a digit and the other guy would have to say a password and he would be entered, allowed in the member. So the watchman was standing at the door. One gentleman came in there and the guy standing at the door, the watchman, he said 12. The guy said 6. He allowed him in. So there was another guy standing close by. He said, simple. 12 ka 6, aadha kar dene ka andar ghusne milega. I'm not a member, I can still go in. So another guy came. He said, the watchman said, 6. The guy said 3. Allowed and available. Simple. Abhi to confirmed hai. Can go in. So then, this man also came. And this watchman, he said 10. Obviously, the guy said 5. He said, get lost. Saying 5? How come you get 5? He said, no, this is not the password. You don't know. You're not a member. Get out. Because it was not howing the number. It was trying to say the digits in the spelling of the number. So if you have 12, then T-W-E-L-V-E is 6. If you have 6, then S-I-X is 3. If you have 10, then the answer should have been 3. And therefore, many times we have Gita. You know, you can imagine. We have the Gita with us and we think, malum hai kaise ghusne ka andar. Isne aisa padha, usko malum padega. Usne aisa padha, usko malum padega. Is it as easy? No. The password is? Bhakti Yoga. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam he tadottamam. And therefore then Krishna explains, this is the history of the Gita, the first point. I said I'll try to go as much as possible. You know, the history of the Gita is, I spoke it to Arjuna, Vivaswan, to Manu, to Ikshvaku, in Parampara. Parampara was lost with time. Arjuna, I'm making you the recipient again because you are my devotee. The second point in chapter 4 is Arjuna's question. As soon as Krishna says, I spoke it to the sun god Vivaswan, Arjuna starts scratching his head. Wait a minute. You know, you said you spoke to Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, I mean to Vivaswan, the Bhagavad Gita. I have a question, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, out of his boundless compassion and mercy, explains to us that this was not Arjuna's question. Arjuna's questions are not Arjuna's questions. He's an enlightened devotee of Krishna. Arjuna's questions are our questions, which he is posing to Krishna on our behalf, so that when Krishna replies, our doubts are resolved. Arjuna, an eternal associate, a constant companion, a great devotee of Krishna, how does he have any doubts? Krishna covers his mind so that he gets his doubts for our benefit. So Arjuna is asking Krishna this question now. Aparam bhavato janma, param bhavam janma vivasvatah, katham etad vijaniyam, tvam adau proktavaniti. Aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvata, param janma. Vivaswan is senior to by you by birth. He was born before, much thousands and millions of years back. And aparam bhavato janma, you were born later, Krishna, now with me. Sun god has been existing for millions of years and you came just a few years before me. And you say, you told the Gita to Vivaswan. It's just like a little child comes to the father and he's studying, you know, some addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. And he comes and tells the father, Papa, Papa, maine na dada ji ka photo hai na jo gaya unko sikhaya tha mathematics. Hey, come on. How can you say that? I thought he's gone, he's before you. You know. So Arjuna naturally has this confusion. You said you spoke to the sun god. How is that possible? Krishna responds back by answering, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna. Oh Arjun, Bahuni. Bahu, not daughter-in-law. Bahuni. Bahuni me vyatitani. Many, many. Bahu. Many, many vyatitani. We have lived lives. We have lived many, many lives, O Arjun. You have come many times. And I have come many times. It's just that I remember all my lives and your lives. You don't remember yours or mine. You have to be reminded that I also came before. You see? And therefore, like Govind Prabhu so beautifully said, rebirth, is it something to discuss? It's something that's a perennial thing accepted by any sane man. Any sane man would say, yes, there is rebirth. You see? It's not something hard to accept. And therefore, just like a painter, you know, he makes a painting and he's wanting to make a portrait of someone and he just paints it half. You don't know whose painting he's making. And you try to judge someone's life only out of this life. It's like a half portrait. You don't see the previous lives. You will never be able to conclude why a person is going through what he's going through. Only when the painting is complete, then you know who the person is. Only when we have an idea of all the past lives, the current life, then we can conclude why he's going through what he's going through. Karna, that fellow was a demon. Sahasra Kavacha. Everyone's sympathizing with him. He was a demon and people who don't know his back history, people who don't know what his past is, are sympathizing and glorifying him as a, you know, a religious icon. And therefore, we can't just judge who or he or she is in the portrait unless the portrait is complete. We can't judge what a person is going through in his or her life unless we have a complete picture of his all lives. You see? Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have gone through many, many lives and I also have gone through many lives, but there is a difference. Srila Prabhupada, once again, out of his kindness, elaborates in his purport on the difference between human beings, all of us, and Krishna, God. There are two greatest diseases in Kali Yuga. We think an ordinary person to be God, or we think God to be an ordinary person. Any ordinary mortal is put on a big asana and we say Bhagawan XYZ comes to Mumbai. You know? You make him God. And you have God here and you say he's an ordinary human being. Look at how he danced with other people's wife. He also died. He also did this. He also did that. And therefore Srila Prabhupada's commentary is very revealing. He explains the differences between Krishna, God, and ordinary living beings like us, human beings. First, when we come in this world, we are forced to come, Srila Prabhupada says. How many of us chose? Mumbai mein janm lene wala hoon main. None of us have chosen to come here. We were forced. When Krishna comes, sambhavami atma mayaya, he comes by his own sweet will to this world. He is not forced to come. When Krishna comes to this world, when we come to this world, we have no choice over our form. Bola main gora hi hona chahiye, main kala hi hona chahiye, mera naak itna 35 degrees pe hona chahiye. We have no choice. We have no choice. We take a form based on our karma. We may want to be a human being in our next life, but if our karma is so bad that we are supposed to be a dog, we will be a dog. We have no choice to be a human being unless we change our karma now. Whereas Krishna, he has the facility to take a form by his will. He can decide to come out of someone's nostril. Now, have you found anyone coming out of someone's nostril? No. Lord Narasimha Dev is coming out of a pillar. You know, and he takes the form of a half man, half lion. That species doesn't exist. Krishna can create a new form when he wants to come. That species doesn't exist in the creation of Lord Brahma. He creates a new species when he wants to come. Try and do that if you can. Make a new species. You see, that is the difference between Krishna and an ordinary living being. Thirdly, Krishna has a spiritual body when he comes here. You know, and a living being, all of us have a material body. And like I always explain the example of a sugar doll. If you have a sugar doll, if you've gone to north in Delhi, Uttar Pradesh, Vrindavan, during the Diwali season, you'll find these dolls made of sugar, tigers, elephants, you know, solid sugar. Sugar inside, sugar outside. That's Krishna. Spiritual outside, spiritual inside. And our bodies, I give the example of how when I was a child, Cadbury's Gems, they came up with this scheme. You know, this He-Man cereal was very popular then. And they made a rubber doll in the form of a bottle, which could be, you know, half opened. And they would put some two or three gems inside. 200 rupees. And I remember crying so much to my mother, I wanted. Gems was insignificant. The He-Man. Our body is like that. Rubber outside, earth, water, fire, air, ether outside, and sweet sugar, little soul inside. You know, that's the difference between our body and Krishna's body. You see? And then the fourth difference Prabhupada explains is, we forget our previous lives. Krishna remembers all our lives and all his incarnations, and he also knows what is coming in the future. You see, like they say, you know, someone told me, he said, I forget three things badly. Said, I forget names, I forget telephone numbers, and the third thing that I forget, I forgot. You know, he says, he forget it. Something common that we forget. We can't remember our previous lives, what we were in our previous lives. We just don't. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went down south, when he saw those seven sal trees, he remembered that when I came as Ram, these seven sal trees assisted me in establishing my supremacy. He hugged them and sent them back home, back to Godhead. Very few people remember their past lives. And that's a disease. It's not something to glorify. You know, that person, Thomas Andrews, who made the Titanic, the ship that even God cannot sink, seemingly, which sank in his first bomb voyage, you see, that guy came again as William Barnes. And William Barnes has written a whole book. When he was 4 years old, he said, how I made the Titanic. He's telling his mother, don't call me Willie, call me Tommy, because my name is Thomas, not William. And he started making diagrams showing how he made the Titanic. All accurate diagrams. Now this is evidence, this is not, of course, Gita is more evident than science, but he has scientific evidence. And there are N cases like that where people do remember. But how many? Hardly any out of the world. And that's the disease. By Krishna's as super soul only they can remember. But Krishna, he can remember every single thing in the past about himself and about each and every single one of us. Imagine Krishna's hard disk. How many terabytes that would be? Everyone's data is in there, including himself. You know, everything about everyone and about everything is with him. That's Krishna. And therefore, one cannot mistake that an ordinary human being is God. God, okay, tell us what you were in your previous life. I don't know. Okay, forget. You know, you can't tell us. You tell me, tell us who I was in my previous life. Forget it. How do you know? He doesn't know. You see, Srila Prabhupada was very categorical, therefore, in smashing such kind of foolish ideas. People write on their t-shirts, you know, I was an atheist until I realized I am God. You know? They write like that. I was an atheist till I realized I was God. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk and one guy in the middle of the whole thing, you know, got up and said, Swamiji, you are talking about God, I am God. Srila Prabhupada said, you are God, please accept our humble obeisance. Now sit down and let me talk. You know, sit down. Let me give the lecture, continue the lecture. You know? One other person came to Srila Prabhupada and he told Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, my guru, you know, is God. Prabhupada said, why? He said, my guru is God because I used to drink so much liquor and because of my guru's intervention in my life, I've stopped drinking liquor. Prabhupada said, then I am God raised to the power 1,000 because all my American disciples, so many have stopped drinking liquor and taking drugs. I'm God to the power 1,000 then just because someone stopped drinking liquor and stopped taking drugs. That doesn't make anyone God, you see. And therefore, it's very clear. Arjuna's question is answered. That many, many lives, both of us have lived. You remember all. You don't remember any. I do. And therefore, I remember coming to Vivaswan, Suryadev, when he was there and speaking that knowledge to him. You see. The third point, Arjuna's question obviously is, Krishna comes, fine, to this world, but why does he come? Why does Krishna come to this world? And these are the famous verses. All of us know. Today being Gita Jayanti, let us chant them together. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Famous verses from the Gita. Any Indian, you wake him up in the night and say, Gita ata ata hai, kaun sa shlok? Yada yada hi dharmasya. Gita ata ata hai, kaun sa shlok? Karmanyevadhikarasya. Two shlokas. No confusion. Every Indian practically will know this verse. Without many times knowing what they mean, but they do know these verses. Not surprising. Krishna, why does he come to this world? Yada yada hi dharmasya glani. Dharma glani. Whenever there is dharma glani. Dharma glani in ordinary scientific terms is called entropy. In layman's term. What does entropy mean? Entropy in a layman's definition means something very organized comes down to something utterly disorganized. Anything that's organized comes down by the power of time to become disorganized. And that happens even with dharma. And we have experience that we keep our house clean and for 10 days, things are here and there. Griha glani, you know, glani in the house. And we know this in our life practically, there's all the time entropy. Things go down. We decide, kal se na, abhi January aa raha hai, 1st January, jarur uthunga, 5 baje subah. And then, glani. It goes down in a week's time. You see, all the time, in our resolutions, there is glani. In our cleanliness, there is glani. Everything goes down. Dharma also goes down. In dharma also, there is glani. Why? Because unscrupulous people come up and they spoil dharma. Kali Yuga, the dharma glani, you cannot imagine. The dharma glani. Krishna comes again and again to take care of this dharma glani. To re-establish religious principles. Dharma sansthapanarthaya. Whenever there is a decline in religious principles, dharma glani, I come to put forth dharma and re-establish dharma once again. The mother can, you know, just pick up the child and take her back. But then the child will never learn how to walk. Therefore the mother walks slowly with the child and teaches the child how to walk. Similarly, Krishna can take us all back to Godhead, just pick us up and take us back. No, but Krishna comes to this world in the form of an ordinary human being and we think he's an ordinary, he's God, but we think he's a human being. And like a mother teaches the child how to walk, Krishna teaches us the Bhagavad Gita, the path to walk back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he wanted that this dharma of the Gita goes to a million people, many, many people. And therefore this book distribution is very important. This Gita Jayanti that we are celebrating, we are distributing Gitas to people without the Gita, without proper commentaries of the Gita. People are in illusion, people are in darkness, worshipping things that they shouldn't worship, having ideas that they shouldn't have about spirituality. Srila Prabhupada is throwing light in his purports on each of these issues. And therefore, when we give these Gitas to others, we are giving them a chance to be part of Krishna's plan. Like the mother's trying to teach the child how to walk, Krishna's trying to teach us how to walk back to Godhead. We're giving each living being, each resident of Mumbai, an opportunity to take to these words of Krishna seriously and walk to the spiritual world, get back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, this Gita Gyan Yagya that our Gokulan Pru and his team and with the guidance of the temple management have very beautifully organized. 3 hours summary today, 3 hours summary tomorrow of the next 6 chapters, 3 hours. That's good for us. We are sitting here hearing. Many may not come to hear. So we have to give this book to them. And therefore there is a whole Gita Dan scheme. They have some Yagya, Maha, Ahuti, Ahuti. I have no clue. You know, sponsorships of Gitas to be given out to people. Please do contact Gokulan Pru if you are interested to find out what we could do for others. How we could give this knowledge to others. Srila Prabhupada, one disciple he called him, newly initiated disciple, and Srila Prabhupada told this disciple, what is our duty in life? This man, this devotee said, he didn't know what to say. Srila Prabhupada once again said, what is our duty? Know what to say. Blank, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada called him and said, you don't know what our duty is? Prabhupada came down from his asana, knelt down, made him kneel down, and looked at an ant on the floor, and he said, our duty and the success of our mission is if we can make that ant also go back home, back to Godhead. What to speak of human beings? Can you imagine that? You know, the success of our mission will be, he said, if we can even make this ant go back home, back to Godhead. If we can't make ants, we are not Lord Chaitanya, who can make, you know, tigers and deers hug each other like in Jharkhand. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, Nectar of Instruction. We are not like that. We can make animals dance and animals do things like this. At least we can make the human beings do that. And therefore, Gita Jayanti, which is today, is a day where we can at least give a Gita to someone or speak about the Gita to someone or pledge to distribute Gitas to someone by sponsoring them financially or assisting in some way. It is all a part of Krishna's mission. Dharma Sansthapanarthaya is Krishna's mission. Therefore, Krishna comes to this world. And we are assisting Krishna in his mission by trying to have this message reach out to the people of this world. And therefore, in order to establish dharma, what does Krishna have to do? Krishna has to kill the demons. Vinashaya cha dushkritam. Those who are challenged to the establishment of dharma are killed. Those who are pro-dharma, protect them, support them, you know. And Suhotra Prabhu, he was once saying, His Holiness Suhotra Maharaj was saying that, Krishna doesn't have to come personally, you know, to kill the demons. He just gives heart attack to one demon from inside his Paramatma. He'll die there only, demon. Why he has to come personally? Just like there was an elephant once. The elephant was walking by. And a little ant below there started talking to the elephant. Hey, kya samajhte apne aapko? You're very great or what? You know, chal, mere se ek panja lada ke dikha. The elephant... Say, what audacity on the part of this ant, you know, talking to me like this. The elephant didn't even look at the ant. The elephant kept going. And the ant is saying, dar gaya, darpok kai ka. Aja, come, let me see how you would fight with me. You know. So the elephant just stood there for a while. The ant was behind now. The elephant just came back. Suhotra Maharaj was explaining. The ant, elephant just came back and just bent down and passed stool. Now when elephant passed stool, the stool was sufficient to kill the ant. Elephant didn't have to kill the ant. You know. So he was explaining, Krishna does not have to come to kill the demons. Who are like ants, who are saying, hey Krishna, what is that? You know, simply Krishna's energies. Of course, I don't want to compare it to stool, but that's the example he gave. You know, the elephant stool. Krishna's energies are sufficient to finish these demons. So then why does Krishna personally come? Krishna personally comes to please his devotees. He's not concerned about protection and dharma and all that. Even his people can do. You know, like he sent his son Jesus to Israel to re-establish dharma there when there's dharma glani. Or he sent his prophet Muhammad to the Middle East. So he doesn't have to do that. His prophet, his sons, his devotees can come and do that. But Krishna wants to please his devotees. And therefore, Krishna comes to this world. So that is the third point. Why does Krishna come to his world? Dharma sansthapanarthaya, vinashaya cha dushkritam, and paritranaya sadhunam. But the real reason is to please his devotees. The fourth point is that when one understands Krishna's nature, that itself gives one's liberation. Krishna says in the Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. Krishna tells, anyone who understands that my birth is not ordinary, how can Krishna's birth be ordinary? When he came as Varahadevi, he came from the nostril of Brahma. Anyone has come from the nostril? Maternity word. Nostrils. How do you have a child born from a nostril? You know, you don't have children born from nostrils. You don't have someone coming from the heart of someone. Krishna appeared from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. He didn't come like an ordinary child is born. You know. And then Krishna's coming from a pillar as Narasimhadev. You see. No child comes from a pillar. If you want to have a child, simple. No, go and crack a pillar. Bachcha aajata hai. Do you get like that? No one's born from a pillar. No one's born from a nostril. No one's born from the heart. There is a technical way of how a child is born in this world. Krishna is not born like the ordinary mortals of this world. So Krishna says, Janma Divyam. My birth is divine, O Arjuna. Karma Divyam. My activities are also divine. Why did he dance with these gopis of Vrindavan? You know, 16,000 gopis. Well, he danced with 16,000. There were 16,000 Krishnas with 16,000 gopis. If you can do that, fine, go ahead. What's the problem? Expand and do it. And he did it for one full night of Brahma. One night of Brahma is millions of years were condensed in that one night of Ras Leela. Karma Divyam. Krishna's name, activities are Divya. Krishna's appearance in this world is Divya. Not like us. Krishna's names are Divya. We are chanting Hare Krishna and we are purified. Chant someone else's name, John Abraham's name, and see if you're purified. You see? And the names of this world are not the same as the person. You know, you say, kidhar ja raha hai? Amar ke antim yatra mein ja raha hu. Aye? Amar hai na wo. He's Amar. I'm going for the cremation of Amar. How can Amar be cremated? Lakshmi, you know, you see a beggar sitting on the bridge, bala naam kya hai? Lakshmi Pati. Bhik kyun mang raha hai? You know? And you say, Aak se andha, naam Nayan Sukh. Blind and his name is Nayan Sukh. Krishna's names are not like that. Each of Krishna's name means what he is. And each of his names is he. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is Krishna in his names? Prabhupada said, Krishna is not in his names. Krishna is his names. So when we chant Krishna, Krishna is there on our tongues. His birth, his activities, his names are all Divyam. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvatah. Anyone who understands this, tyaktva deham, having given up this body, punarjanma naiti. He doesn't come back to this world of birth and death. Why? Because after hearing about such a glorious Lord, he starts serving that Lord. And service to that Lord gives him liberation. Fourth point. I'm just doing the fast forward mode a little bit. The fifth point of chapter 4 is the different kinds of worship. You know, Krishna comes to this world. So how do people worship him? Three kinds of worship Krishna explains. Firstly, he explains of those great souls. Bahavo jnana tapsa tapasa puta madbhava magata vitaraga bhayakrodha manmaya mam upashrita. In the past, there have been saintly personalities who gave up their attachment, who gave up their fear, who gave up their anger, and they worshipped me. How? In absorption. They loved me in absorption. Puta mad bhava magatah. They achieved bhava. Today people only know one bhav. You know, ate dal ka bhav. They don't know what that bhav for Krishna is. And the kind of bhav that are going off, tur dal, mung dal, 100 rupees kilo. My God. With seeing that bhav, we forget Krishna bhav. My God, let us take care of this bhav first, you know. Bhav for Krishna and all that is next to impossible for most people. You see? And therefore, puta mad bhava magataha. Such people who worship me with devotion, they get bhava in their heart. Love for me. Absorption in me. Krishna. But there are others who will not worship you directly like this. With a flute. Imagine telling a person abroad, you know, the God is a black blue boy holding a flute with a girlfriend. How does he accept this as God? What about those who want to worship light Krishna? Krishna says, I will also give them what they want. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajamyam. Whatever way a person approaches me, That is how I reward him. If he doesn't want to see me as Krishna directly, it doesn't matter. He wants to see me as light, he will see my Brahma Jyoti. He wants to get absorbed in my light, he will come in my Brahma Jyoti. Krishna, well, what about those who don't worship you as a black-blue boy? And what about those who don't want to come to that Brahma Jyoti, that light? What about those people? There are many who don't come to you at all, Krishna, and go to others. Who are those others, Krishna? Kangshantaha karmanam siddhim yajanta iha dehata kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Yes, oh my Arjuna. They don't come to me as Krishna. They don't go to my light as Brahma Jyoti. They go to Iha Devata, the different demigods. Why do they go to the different demigods? Kangshantaha. Akanksha. They have desire. What is their desire? They have on their menu card. Putram Dehi, Dhanam Dehi, Audi Dehi, Jaguar Dehi, Rolls Royce Dehi. You know? Every morning we chant in our Tulsi prayer, you know, Seva Audi Kar Diye, Koro Nija Dasi. People sometimes chant, Seva Adhikar, they say, Seva Audi Kar Diye, Koro Nija Dasi. They want an Audi car from Tulsi Maharani. You see? Well, give me this. Kangshantah Karmanam Siddhi, Yajantah Iha Devata. They go to these different demigods, wanting benefits from these demigods. Why they don't come to you? Because you delay, no? They're very instantaneous. Kshipram hi. Kshipram. Very quickly they give. Jape Ganapati Stotram. Shadbhir Masi. Che Mahine Mein. What you will get? Putrarthi Labate Putram. Dhanarthi Labate Dhanam. Vidyarthi Labate Vidyam. Moksharthi Labate Gatim. Che Mahine Mein. Promised. So people immediately want to go for all of these pujas. Why? Kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. But those categories of the jnana tapasas, they don't sell their souls. They don't sell their integrity to love you for some cheap temptations of this world, Arjun. They love you. Therefore they become mad bhava magataha. They achieve bhava in their heart, Arjun. And therefore, all of these people going to different demigods are just wanting this thing to be fulfilled. You know, Arjun is asking Krishna a question, but what about, will they be ever purified, Krishna, by worshipping this demigod? Don't worry, Arjun. Chatur varanyam maya srishtam gunam karma vibhagashah. The four varanas of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra are created by me. And if they just follow these four varanas and worship these devatas, slowly, yet steadily, gradually, shanai shanai, hole hole, dhire dhire, you know, they will definitely get purified and come to worship me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And then Krishna goes on to describe the sixth point about sacrifices, yajna. How by performance of yajna or by performance of sacrifice, our soul, our spirituality will be uncovered, unveiled. And he talks about many kinds of sacrifices. Dravyamaya yajna. Dravyamaya yajna means sacrificing one's possessions. Paisa, vaisa, you know, you give some charity to the temple, charity to Krishna, dravyamaya yajna. Then there is tapomaya yajna. Tapomaya yajna means people perform austerities, tapasyas, fasting, yajnas. Why? To go to heaven. Not to Krishna. That's like Malabar Hill. Hell is Dharavi, Ghatkopar is earth, and Malabar Hill is heavens. But Golok Vrindavan is spiritual world, Krishna's world. So they perform tapomaya yajna tapa, karmakandic sacrifices to go to heavens, Arjun. And then there is yogamaya yajna. Yogamaya yajna is like yogis, they will perform all kinds of sacrifice, you know, they'll sit, they will offer the inside breath and the outside breath and the inside breath. Ek bolo kuch to. It's very hard to understand. Yoga maya yajna done by yogis. And then there are some who do swadhyaya maya yajna, who study all the Vedic literature, sacrifice their time for Krishna in terms of reading books. But in the age of Kali, there is only one yajna, Sankirtana yajna. Dravya yajna, all this, whatever we can do, but the perfection won't come. Sankirtana yajna, chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That will purify us. You see, for a professional, what is his Yajna Kunda checkbook? You know, and what is the ahuti inside? The amount he fills for Krishna. That is his yajna. He may not do a fire, elaborate fire sacrifice, but he has dravya, give it to Krishna. You see, someone's a good singer, what is his yajna kunda? Microphone. What is the ahuti gives his? Voice. Sing for Krishna. There is a student, what is his yajna? Exam paper. Answer paper is his yajna kunda. You see, and the ink of the pen with which is writing answers is the ahuti. Swaha. Right. And the examiner is the priest. No, hota. You see? Study for Krishna. Housewife, what is her yajna? Right. The pot in which she cooks is the yajna kunda. The ingredient that she puts, the chonka, is the ahuti. Cook for Krishna. Right. That is sacrifice. Dedicating one's every single act for Krishna while being accompanied by Sankirtan yajna, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That is the greatest sacrifice. You see, Srila Prabhupada said our temples don't have bells, you know. Because if you have a bell, they keep ringing saying, order please, kya tha abhi tak aaya kyun nahi? They keep ringing bells. But many ISKCON temples don't have bells for practical reasons, of course. Srila Prabhupada said, many temples have a lot of bells, but in age of Kali Yuga, the bell that pleases Krishna is not the ghanta, the big one, you know. He said the ghanta is the mouth. Our mouth is like the gong, the bell-shaped structure. The tongue is like the, you know, the mallet, is what that called? Mallet, I guess. I don't know, I think they call it the mallet inside. You know, the structure in the bell which goes to and fro, that's our tongue. And what's the sound that comes out? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. This yajna is very pleasing to Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Yajna sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasa. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give us this yajna. And if you perform this yajna, don't worry if we can't do the others. Others to mantra, what we will chant, we don't know. You know, others they perform yajna, Ganesh home, they take Ganesh bidi, and while lighting their Ganesh bidi, they do Ganesh home also, simultaneously. You know, for one of our congregation devotees, on his wedding, they performed his sannyas yajna. For his wedding, he found out later, that on the wedding day, they were chanting sannyas mantras. My God, his wife, he would have come to know, should have been bewildered. Not many people can do all this. But the Hare Krishna mantra, everyone, east or west, Hare Krishna is the best. Everyone can do it, you see. Each of us, housewives, students, professionals, ladies, men, Indians, Americans, Westerners, Easterners, rich, poor, young, old, each of our situation is unique. Because of the particular situation we are in, each of us are unique. And since we are unique, each of us, how these yajnas will apply to us, we have to learn it. We can't learn it on our own. How does one learn how to apply those yajnas? Krishna says, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti tadgyanam gyaninastattu varshibhi. Go to a guru, approach a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the art of applying the details of this dravyamaya, tapomaya, jnanamaya, yogamaya, swadhyayamaya yajna in one's personal life. Otherwise, we will see aisa yajna and we start doing in our life. It's going to be a big blunder because in Kali Yuga, our lifestyle does not facilitate that. We don't have the time, we don't have the energy, we don't have the resources to do all of this. Therefore, one needs a spiritual master, a guru, to teach us the practical application of these sacrifices. You see? Then we will know how to perform Dravyamaya Yajna by giving charity to Krishna, preaching mission. How to practice Dravya Swadhyayamaya Yajna by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada taught. How to practice Yogamaya Yajna by trying to sit erect when one is chanting Hare Krishna. Trying to chant the holy names properly, Yogamaya Yajna. Guru will teach us how to apply these details in our personal lives. You see? And therefore, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. That's the next section. Gyan kaise milega? Gyan yoga? This knowledge how to apply? By going to a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was such a bona fide spiritual master, extremely humble. You know, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, Allen Ginsberg was the, Prabhupada called him Ginsberg, some say Ginsberg. Allen Ginsberg was the person who took the Hare Krishna mantra first time in the West. But he couldn't change anyone's life. Prabhupada changed by giving Hare Krishna. Someone asked, Swamiji, we have heard that you are Allen Ginsberg's guru. Srila Prabhupada said, I am no one's guru. I am everyone's servant. That is guru. Guru doesn't come and say, guru considers himself to be a servant of everyone and tries to serve every living being by connecting him or her to Krishna. You see, someone came and said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you look exactly like your spiritual master, Shri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. He said, really? No. My Guru Maharaj, he was like gold, I am like iron. Why are you comparing? Srila Prabhupada immediately, humbly, did not say, I was the one who took the mission to the West. Because my Guru Maharaj told me I got that credit. Prabhupada never said that. Someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, there are these 12 Mahajans, great souls mentioned in the Bhagavatam. You are the 13th. Prabhupada said, you are the 14th. You are also the great soul. Why should it stop at me? Continue. Jara dekhe tarakaho Krishna upadesh. Amaragya guru hoya taraydesh. Continue the line of disciplic succession. It doesn't end there. Therefore, this deviant philosophy that come Prabhupada last guru, that is not at all what Prabhupada likes. You know, what is the result when one goes to a guru, learns this knowledge, applies it? Krishna explains in the Gita that this knowledge, jnana, becomes like a boat for him. Just like no matter how deep the ocean is, but if you have a boat, you can cross across. Similarly, no matter how deep the material world is, unfathomable, doesn't matter. Knowledge becomes like a boat which will carry us across the material ocean. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He was writing his purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada said, my friend gave me a pen, Parker pen. And with this Parker pen, I am writing these purports which will help to Parker. You know, which will help. These purports will help people to cross the ocean of material existence like a boat. These purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports, are like a boat. You know, Parker, written by a Parker pen by Srila Prabhupada, so that we can Parker, like Krishna is explaining here. And knowledge, transcendental knowledge, acts like fire which burns to ashes all sinful reactions. What can fire not consume and burn? Everything, a blazing conflagration of fire can burn to ashes. So also the blazing conflagration of transcendental knowledge can burn to ashes reactions to all sinful activities. And Srila Prabhupada Krishna goes on to say, agyaha, a person who is not in knowledge, ashraddhadanaha, a person who is faithless, and samshayatma, person who is doubting soul. These three people will perish in this world and will rot in this material world if they do not take to transcendental knowledge given herein. And therefore Krishna is telling Arjun, therefore Arjun, slash away all your doubts. Don't be a doubting Thomas Arjun. That's the English proverb. Don't be a doubting Arjun Arjun. You know, that's how you would say in the Vedic time. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Slash that ignorance, slash that doubt with the weapon of transcendental knowledge, and everything shall be fine. And the application of this knowledge Srila Prabhupada has given us, not just some academic scholarship, but practical engagement in service to Krishna. The whole International Society of Krishna Consciousness, amongst the many other bona fide paramparas and organizations, is one that has created a practical infrastructure to not just know, but to do. It's one thing to know, another thing to do. A lot know, but most don't do. Here is an infrastructure where we can come and do what Krishna taught us. Dravyamaya, tapomaya, vedamaya, yogamaya, swadhyayamaya, yagya. By practical devotional service to Krishna. And that is chapter 4, which is Jnana Yoga. In conclusion, about 5-7 minutes, because I have to just rush to go to Delhi. But just in brief summary, chapter 5 is called Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Karma means action, sannyasa means renunciation. Usually the idea is, if I work, then I can't be a sannyasi. And if I'm a sannyasi, then I don't work. Isn't it? Sannyasis don't work. People living in the world outside, karmic people who are doing karma, are not sannyasis. Where are their orange robes? Where is their sannyas danda? Where is their shaven head? Where is their ponytail? I mean the shikha, you know, the tuft. Where is the tuft of hair? Therefore, Krishna speaks chapter 5, called Karma Sannyasa Yoga, which teaches a person how to be sannyasi at home, how to be sannyasi on the battlefield. Krishna is telling Arjuna, is Arjuna sannyasi? No, He is a householder with three wives, not one. With Draupadi as his wife, with Ulupi as his wife, with Subhadra as his wife. Three wives. He is not a sannyasi. He doesn't wear orange clothes. He doesn't carry a sannyas danda. He doesn't have a tuft of hair. He has a beautiful sportive moustache, in fact. He has beautiful curly hair cascading down his shoulders. He is a family man with familial, financial responsibilities. Krishna, in chapter 5, talks about how to be a karma sannyasi. While working in the world outside as a housewife, professional student, how still one can be a sannyasi? Because sannyas does not refer to giving up things. Sannyas, real sannyas, refers to giving up the mentality that I am the owner, I am the proprietor, I am the doer. Real sannyas means giving up the false ego that I am the one that's doing things. You see? And therefore, like Bharat Maharaj, Lord Ramchandra, Bharat went to take Lord Ramchandra back to Ayodhya. And Lord Ramchandra said, sorry, I can't come back. You go and rule. He said, no, it's not mine. He said, it's your throne. He said, no, you go and rule. So Bharat said, it's yours, Krishna. I'm only ruling on your behalf. So Bharat took the padukas of Lord Ramchandra, put it on the throne. Krishna, you are the proprietor. I am simply the caretaker. This body was made by Krishna. Krishna, you are the proprietor. I am simply the caretaker. This family is made by Krishna. Krishna, you are the proprietor. I am simply the caretaker. This money was given to me by Krishna. Krishna, you are the proprietor. I am simply the caretaker. To give up this mentality that I am the proprietor and to take this mentality that I am the caretaker is called sannyas. And therefore, while being in the world outside, while doing one's karma as Arjuna did, when one in this consciousness that Krishna is the proprietor, I am a caretaker, let me serve Krishna with what I have, that is real sannyas. And of course, there is sannyas also, in like we have sannyasis, the four varnas and four ashrams, but this is karma sannyas, you see. And therefore, if one is a caretaker, it doesn't belong to us, we should take extra care of it. If it's Krishna's body, we'll take good care of Krishna's body, not neglect it to serve Krishna. If it's Krishna's family, one doesn't neglect the wife and children saying, hey, sannyas lena hai, abhi bola hai na karma sannyas yog. Karma sannyas yog means it's Krishna's. No, I will take better care. Because they are also servants of Krishna. It's Krishna's money, I will not waste Krishna's money. It's Krishna's money, I'm caretaker, I'll use it properly. Srila Prabhupada did not like wasting light, electricity, anything. One drop of water, close it. It's Krishna's. We are only caretakers. Of course, it is easy to talk all these things. Sorry for talking all these things beyond my realization. I am just repeating parrot-like words, you know. I don't follow this. You can all bless me that I can follow even half a syllable of what is written in the Gita here. You see? But that is karma sannyas yoga. I am not proprietor. I am not doer. Krishna is. So the second theme in karma sannyas yoga is, if I am not the doer, who is? So the three doers are explained. Myself, by making the desire. The modes of material nature by facilitating the desire, and Krishna by sanctioning it. Just like if a child wants to learn music, he goes to the music teacher. His desire, therefore music is being taught. Music teacher is teaching the music. Father is sanctioning the teaching by paying for the child. So I desire to do an action. The material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, like the teacher, facilitate that action. But Krishna ultimately sanctions the modes to give me that action. Therefore, we are to blame by making the desire. Raman Raghav, that fellow, was killing so many ladies in 1982-83 here in Bombay by putting stones. And when he was asked, why? He said, God is telling me to do it. Why God will tell you to do it? You want to do it. The modes are impelling you. God is simply sanctioning your desire. He is neutral. And then you have to suffer for what you did. You know, people say, I am drinking alcohol, you know. I drink alcohol because God wants me to drink it. God wants to drink drinking. God doesn't want me to drink alcohol. I make a desire. The mode of ignorance sanctions that desire. Facilitates that desire. And Krishna is simply sanctioning it as a neutral Paramatma in the heart. Krishna is not responsible for the choices we make. He's only a sanctioner. Choices we are making, and therefore when the reaction comes, we have to bear the brunt. Don't say, Bhagwan ne bola tha, abhi aisa kyun kar rahe Bhagwan mere sa? We are responsible. And the third theme of the fifth chapter is the peace formula. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichati. Anyone who understands Krishna to be the enjoyer, the proprietor, and the friend of all living beings achieves everlasting peace. In Moscow, on the 18th of July, I'm sorry, 18th of August, 1995, they celebrated Janmashtami. For a Janmashtami, all the devotees went on Harinam Sankirtan, you know, in the streets of Moscow. And they came back. On the 25th of August, 1995, the newspapers all over Moscow reported something interesting. Something that had not happened in the history of Moscow had happened. You know, Moscow has a population of 10 million people. Out of the 10 million people, the crime rate is very high in Moscow. Every day, a minimum 80 murders take place. Every day. Can you imagine? That's historical records. Every day, minimum 80 murders all over the city. For the first time in years and decades, on the 18th of August, there was no reported crime at all. No crime had taken place in Moscow. You know? And then, of course, the devotees, when they heard this, they connected. Gyato amam shantim richati. Krishna consciousness is the peace formula. They had gone out on Harinam, and this peace was brought about for that one day. I'm not saying that only by Harinam people will stop murdering. My point is, if we start preaching Krishna consciousness and give the holy name out and the knowledge of Gita, slowly the peace will come in. Right? Otherwise, they are only pieces, not peace. You see, concluding, that's a chapter 5, three things. One is karma, sannyas. Second is, who is the doer? Me, Krishna on the modes. And third is the peace formula. And chapter 6, Krishna talks to Arjuna about control of the mind. It's a very beautiful and elaborate theme. Arjuna says, my dear Krishna, you're telling me to control the mind. How does control one control the mind? He speaks of Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga, eight limbs. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyan, Samadhi. Yam, Niyam, do's and don'ts. Pranayam, we know, Puspus, pressure cooker. You know, Pratyahar, trying to get our senses out of the sense objects. You see, asan, yogasans, dharana, sitting, fixing the mind on the Lord, dhyan, focused attention, samadhi, complete absorption. Focus your mind, Arjun. For that, what should you do? First, shucha udeshe pratishthapya stiram asanam yunjata, leave home first. Not possible, isn't it? Sixth chapter, at the beginning only say, amse ni yoga. Leave home, leave family, go to the forest. Find a secluded place, a secluded holy place. Today, holy place is not secluded. So many shops come up. You know? And a secluded place is not holy. Go to a secluded holy place. And then make an asana. How do you make an asana? Make an asana. First put kushaga. First put deer skin. If you put deer skin, the government of India will come to arrest you. It's against the laws of the government to kill animals and use the skin. Put a deer skin. Cover it with white cloth. Ye mil jayega. And then cover it with kusha grass. Why kusha grass? Because it repels snakes. You're sitting in the forest for meditation. The deer skin and the kusha grass takes care of repelling the snakes. Well, impractical. Not possible for me, Arjun Krishna. Not just that. Then you sit erect. Samakaya shiro grivam. Have your body, your kaya, your griva, your neck and shira, your head, erect in one position. Now, if you're speaking, you all the time see, you know, how people begin and how they end up in the lecture. You know, yoga, dhyan yoga, how it's possible. And you also see how the speaker ends up many times. Very seldom I've found few people who sit in the same posture beginning to end. But that's rare. How does one do that? You know, not just that. Brahmachari vrate sthita. You can't practice Ashtanga yoga without brahmachari practice. Which means everyone has to be brahmachari in Kali Yuga. Yeah, really? How is it going to be possible? You know? And then, prashantatma vigatabhir, prashantatma. Mind should be extremely peaceful when you go to meditate in the forest. Peaceful, you sit there to meditate and stock market is going on in the mind. What prashantatma? How will prashantatma? Or you're sitting there in the, and saying that Prashant Gokhale, he's stealing all my money. Prashantatma? How will you have prashantatma when Prashant Gokhale is manipulating your accounts there in Bombay? How will you have prashantatma? You see? Vigatabhir, one should be completely from free from fear. Tiger comes and roars straight in front of your face, no movement. Sit there erect. Cobra comes with his hood and straight in front of your nose like this, no movement. Sit like this, meditating. How does one do this? You see?
Look at the tip of your nostril to meditate, because if you close your eyes, you'll fall asleep. Open your eyes, you're distracted. So look like this. Anyone tries this, within 2 seconds, your head starts aching. 2 seconds, just looking at the tip of the nose and trying to meditate. Try it. Not now. You see, finished. Arjuna says, my dear Krishna, you're telling mind control, all this gymnastics, very hard. Krishna, the mind is very, very difficult to control. Chanchalam emana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manne vayoriva sudishkaram. It's chanchal, fickle, restless, just goes around here and there. All of us have good experience of this. Krishna says, don't worry. It's not impossible, O Arjun. Do it with two things. Abhyas and Vairagya. Abhyas. Constantly practice. What? Chanting Hare Krishna. To tame, to deal with the mind. And Vairagya. Give up. Don't listen to the demands of the mind. Srila Prabhupada, he gave the example of taming a tiger. You know, the ringmaster, he's wanting to tame a ferocious tiger who's just been caught and brought. He's caught up in a cage and the ringmaster wants to teach him how to go through a ring. So the first day, ringmaster, loudly he roars, you know, tiger. Ringmaster, roar, because it's locked anyways. Do whatever you like to do. No food is given. Next day, roar comes down, you know. After 4 days, no food, roar comes down. After 8 days, no sound. After 10 days, sits with no energy and strength left. Then the ringmaster with confidence opens the lock, comes in, and he tries to do a little bit. He has no energy at all to get up. And the ringmaster takes a ring. In. No energy, takes a whack. And makes sound of the whack. You know, hunter, chabuk. He's scared. He has to go in. And when he goes in, then the other side is some flesh. So he gives him flesh. So he knows, ring mein se ghusega to flesh milega. Right? And then he, because he eats some flesh, again he gets some energy and again starts shouting, Then he, now we get scared even of the sound of the whack. Srila Prabhupada said, that's how we should tame our mind. The mind is demanding, give me this, wrong demands of the mind. Fast the mind like we fast the tiger. Slowly, steadily, the mind will continue to, you know, quieten down by the demands. Don't give the mind wrong things, Prabhupada said. And then, once the mind quietens down, then the whack of the holy name is there. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chagrihyate. This is how the mind will come slowly in control. Arjuna asks Krishna the last final question of Bhakti Yoga, this chapter, Dhyana Yoga. Says Krishna, you know someone who takes to the practice of this yoga, but he's given up so much to start this, Krishna. But after starting this, if he's not able to complete it, will he not be in the middle, Krishna? He didn't do a sense gratification properly and he didn't perfect the spiritual life. He became beachman. Beachman, you know. Beach ka bandar he'll become. So, what happens to such a person, Krishna? Krishna says, don't worry, Arjun. If he's practiced yoga only for a small time and then he leaves, in the next life, the minimum he will get is a birth in an aristocratic, wealthy family. As a human being. Minimum. And if he's practiced yoga for a long time and he's fallen down, he will be born in the family of devotees. Born in the family of transcendentalists. Where he has left it, he will begin there, hey Arjun. Spiritual life, as much as we finish, is never lost. If we do our PhD and become PhD BF, but failed. Next lifetime, we can't continue. Pichle baar itna thesis submit kiya tha, usne sikka nahi laga, ek baar wapis thesis laya. Who's going to accept that thesis? But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, every little thing we do in Krishna consciousness will go to our next life. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the best investment. Nothing is lost. Stock market up or down. Economic crash or no crash. Recession or procession. This investment is never lost, never threatened. And therefore, Krishna is telling Arjun, invest in the process of yoga, control your mind and focus on the Lord within the heart. There was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Kishore Prabhu, he told the story at Soho Street. There was a man, Bhakta Dev, during Prabhupada's time, and they were driving, very good devotee, very sincere soul, Bhakta Dev from Soho. As they were driving, they met with an accident and Bhakta Dev died, left his body. Years later, they found a letter, Prabhupada had actually, the day they left, Prabhupada had sent a letter saying he's initiated. So he was actually initiated when he left his body by Srila Prabhupada. He had just not received his name and his beads. And then later, years later, Kishore Prabhu was sitting in Soho Street Temple and speaking about the story of Bhakta Dev. And one Mataji, she said, Bhakta Dev, I am Bhakta Dev. Ratnavali Devi Dasi is her name. Ratnavali Mataji is Bhakta Dev come again. Bhakta Dev, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, came back as Ratnavali Mataji to continue with the devotional service that was remaining. And fired up devotee at Soho Street Temple, you see. Practicing Krishna consciousness and serving the devotees in Srila Prabhupada's mission. So nothing is lost in Krishna consciousness. And last but not the least, Krishna gives a conclusive word, you know, on which is the highest yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamovata. Amongst all the practices of yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga is the supreme one. Who abides in me with faith, loves me and serves me. Such a bhakti yogi is the topmost, Arjuna. Really, bhakti yoga is the topmost? You want to know how bhakti yoga is the topmost? The middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7 to 12, all talk about bhakti yoga. One chapter for jnana yoga, one chapter for dhyana yoga, one chapter for karma yoga, all chapters for bhakti yoga. Middle six specifically, but all chapters end with bhakti yoga. You see? Therefore, in the evening today, 5 to 6 to 9, I believe, His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu will speak on the middle six chapters, 7 to 12, which elaborately describe the path and the process of Bhakti Yoga and the glory of Bhakti Yoga. I wish to thank all of you very much for coming here this morning to participate in this Gita Gyan Yajna. And please forgive me if I have said something that I shouldn't have said or if something's hurt you. Please pardon me. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Bhagavad Gita ki. Shri Gita Jayanti Mahamahotsava ki. Shri Mokshadaya Kadashi ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hari Hari.